Does God care about the little things in our lives? Luke 12:7 says, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows." Think about it. If God takes care and time to number the hairs on our heads, then the answer is pretty clear. Yes, God cares about even the little things. Think about the last time you had your hair cut. Now, I have been going to the same beautician for over 20 years. Liz knows me. She's watched my MS progress. She's watched my kids grow up. I've watched her daughter grow up. We are friends. Not once has Liz looked at my hair and said, "Whoa, Deb, 127 has split ends. Let's just trim that one." Nor has she ever said, "Hairs number 15, 17, 29, and 42 are getting a little gray there. Maybe we should gently color them." No, she suggests gently to me that maybe it's time to start coloring my hair. But she didn't pick out the individual hairs. God has given me individual numbers for individual hairs. Thank you. But Liz doesn't have a clue, and I've known her for over 20 years. As I said, she's watched my kids grow up. I've watched her kids grow up. We've seen each other through so many things, but she has no clue that my hairs are numbered. But God does. God numbered each hair on my head. He numbered each hair on your head. God cares about the little things. If he hadn't, he wouldn't have numbered them. It seems trivial to most of us, but to God, it's important. And think about it. If he cares about the hair on your head, think about it. Hair on your head, he cares about it. Then how much more does he care about everything in your life? We have a tendency to only go to God in the big things. In fact, we find it pretty easy to go to God with our major issues. Jay shared with us his friend today, his partner at work. We've all heard stories. We pray for each other's cancer. We pray for each other's lupus, our MS, our stents in our hearts. There's so many things that we pray for. Because there's some pretty physically and emotionally and spiritually debilitating things that we all go through. We ask our friends to pray for us. We know that they're praying for us. We pray for all the big things. We pray for Ryan and Heather when they get the house and get it all together, and safety for their vacation, and for Ida with everything going on in her life. We pray for them because they're important. They're big things. But do we pray for the little things? How often do we trivialize the little things, the other things in our lives? When we discount that God cares for even the small things, we make God unreachable. We make him unapproachable. God has told us in Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than that?" Think about that. God meets the needs of the birds, and he takes tender care with them. Do you think that God is not going to care for our needs? God knows our needs before we even ask. We put prayer requests on the prayer request list, on the prayer list. But do we ask our friends to pray for the little things? Do we ask God to help us in the little things? So first, we need to look at what prayer is. We need to discover how and what God wants us to pray about. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is not one-sided. If you never talk to your friends, can your friendship stay strong? If you never converse with your spouse, your marriage is probably going to fall apart. It's going to wither away. Prayer is two-sided. It is not one-sided. It's not just saying, "Hey, God." We have to listen, too. We have to hear the response. We have to wait on a response. He wants us to come to him daily. Can you still hear me? Because it's going in and out, I think, again. Okay. The same goes for our relationship with God. He wants us to come to him daily, throughout the day, not just when we have a spare moment. Not first thing in the morning and then I'm done with you, God. I'm going to put you over here. Prayer not only develops our relationship with God, but it grows us and strengthens us through ongoing dialogue. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We should come to God with confidence, knowing that he hears our prayers. Mind you, it's clear that we need to ask in accordance to his will. But we cannot know his will if we're not in a relationship with him. We have to be in a right relationship. God is our father. As a parent, do we not want the best for our children? I can't imagine any parent in here going, I only want my kids to be mediocre. I only want them to have a mediocre life. But we don't do that as parents. We want our kids to have their heart's desires. We want them to be filled with God. But if they never share with us what their needs are, how can we help them fulfill them? Even though God already knows our hearts, he asks us to come to him with them. That's the same thing we do with our kids. We tell our kids, I want you to have the best. But if they don't tell you what they need, if they don't tell you what's in their hearts, it's just like throwing a wish up into the air and saying, oh, let's hope it happens. We have to be in communication. A while back, Kristen reminded us how we only see a part of the parade directly in front of us. But God sees the whole parade. He sees the whole processional. Isn't that a beautiful illustration of waiting on God? We see what's in front of us, but God sees the whole thing. Sometimes we have to wait on God because he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. On the other hand, if we're just looking here and we're picking what we want, we don't know if it's going to be good or bad for us. We can say, oh, I want this, I want this. I want that brand new car. I want that brand new house. But God knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. Maybe that brand new car isn't what you need. Maybe later on down the road, you're going to have a bigger blessing because you waited on God. It's kind of funny when our grandson Jacob started coming to visit us. He would ask if he had to eat a salad. Now, mind you, we have salad on almost every meal. Sometimes I even had it for breakfast, yes. Okay, but I didn't make Jacob have it for breakfast. But he would say, do I have to eat the salad? Of course, we responded with, of course you have to eat the salad. It's part of dinner. It's part of lunch. Jacob decided to pray. He asked God to make sure we didn't give him any more salads at meals. Yeah, I know. We kind of chuckled too. I thought it was hilarious. It was important to him though. So he knew he could go to God with it. Is it trivial to us? Yeah. It wasn't to him though. He did not want any more salads. He said, God, please make Grammy and Grampy stop giving me salad for meals. Didn't work. Did we still give him salad? Absolutely. At every meal, lunch and dinner, he had salad. Finally, I noticed that Jacob started praying differently. He said, God, please help me like salad. Wow. That was so cool to us. At first, I didn't notice it, but he asked God to help him like salad because he knew he was going to get stuck eating it anyway. So he might as well make it the best of that he could. Jacob learned to like salad. Do I think that it's because we made him eat it every day? No, truthfully, I don't. I think to this day he would hate salad. But God heard his heart. That was important to God, to answer that little boy's prayer. Salad became okay. Because that little boy had faith. Our grandson said, okay, God, you're not going to let them stop giving me salad, so make me like it. He likes salad now. He would ask for salad. It wasn't trivial to Jacob. But you know what? It wasn't trivial to God either. Ephesians 6:18a says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." It doesn't say some kinds of prayers and requests, just the ones that are important, because every prayer is important. Beloved, prayer requires action. You must make your petitions clear, but you also need to wait on an answer. Sometimes the answer is a resounding no. Just like God told Jacob, no, I'm not going to make them stop giving you salad. Sometimes the answer is an emphatic, absolutely, yes, go for it. Sometimes you don't hear the answer. Is it because God hasn't answered? No. It's because he's waiting on the best. And sometimes we have to just sit and wait. And sometimes we're so busy waiting for that yes that we forget that sometimes we just have to wait. The little things concern him. Things about our lives matter to him. He is a friend to each one of us. He wants what is best for us. When he says no or yes or wait, it's because it is best for us. But we don't know that if we're not in a relationship with God. We teach our children that God cares for them. Every hair on their head, everything about them, God cares for them. But as we grow older, we tend to get a little cynical, maybe, and a little jaded. We forget that God is in the small things too. As we mature in life, we relegate God to be an idol, an icon, not our Father who loves and adores us and wants to give us the best of our desires of our heart. We've become bothered by God. We kind of pull him out, put him on a shelf and pull him out when we want him, when we need him. We don't see him as someone that we want to have a relationship with daily. We don't see him in our lives until we need him. We have a tendency to make God either too big or too small to care about the little things in our lives. He has to be in our daily lives. We make him unattainable. He does not separate himself from us. We separate him from us by our actions. He is never too busy, never too detached, never too far to be uninterested in our lives. Think about it. God already took care of the biggest problem. Our biggest fear, our biggest concern is sin. He already gave us away. Everything else is small in comparison. What we see is huge in our world is small in God's. Everything else pales in comparison to sin, and he took care of it. But it all matters to God. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Now, Satan will do his best to convince us that God does not care about the little things in our lives. He will trick us. He will fool us. He will tell us lie after lie after lie, so that we don't believe that God is in the little things, that we don't believe and we don't trust God is taking care of all the little things in our lives. God doesn't want you to be tripped up by Satan. God wants you to know that you know that you know that he is in your life. He is cares about every single thing in your life. As I said, he numbered the hairs on your head. Beloved, for him to do that shows you how much value he has in everything in your life. We often think if we go to God with just the big things, I can handle the little problems myself. That's not what God wants for his children. When we come to God, like our children come to us to fix the owies, he delights in us. Have you ever had your child come running up to you, asking you to kiss their boo-boo because they fell down and got hurt? one kiss and they forget all about the scrape. They won't even remember it next week, 10 hours from now, not even 5 minutes from now, because they asked you to kiss the owie and make it all better. That's how God wants us to come to him. He wants us to look at him and go, Daddy, fix it. Daddy, hold me. Daddy, fix the owies. But if their child fell down, scraped their knee up, and you knew they needed a hug and a bandage, but they went running right past you to the neighbor, how would you feel? Your heart would sink. You would be like, wow, I'm so crushed. My child didn't come to me. Isn't that what we do to God? We know our kid still needs us. God knows we still need him. But we turn to others. We don't rely solely on God. We rely on ourselves. We rely on our neighbors. We rely on everybody else to fix the little things in our lives. Trust him, knowing that he cares and he can handle it. We don't have to. Does that mean we don't go see a doctor when we're sick, or a therapist if we're depressed, or call a friend when we need godly advice or direction? No. What it means is talk to God. God will put the right doctor in your path. God will put the right therapist there so you don't have to live with the depression. And God will put the right friend there to keep you on track. It doesn't mean they're going to say everything you want to hear. But is it going to say what you need to hear? Whether it be your doctor, your therapist, your friend. But you got to go to God first. God listens to his children. God cares about every prayer prayed, every child praying it. He doesn't love one better than the other. He loves us all the same. We are his children. Second, we need to see who God is in our lives. Is he our Abba Father, or just someone we turn to when we see no way out? When we have nowhere else to turn, or maybe we've relegated God to the corner to come out fighting like a champion or a boxer when we have no alternative. Is God someone so big that we can't come to him for everything? Did we put him on a shelf? Did we put him on a box that we can't get near? That's not who God is. Do we stick him in the corner till we fall apart? Or do we just call him when we've exhausted all hope and determination? As a mom to 5 daughters, I've worn many hats at different times. You all have. I've been a daughter, a wife, a mother, a chauffeur, a banker, a cook, a confidant, nurse, doctor. I could go on and on. We've all worn different hats. God wears hats for our lives too. Sometimes it's disciplinarian. Sometimes it's just confidant. Sometimes it's Abba Father. Sometimes it's Daddy that you just want to run to because his ways are perfect. He knows what we need when we need it. We don't always like the answer. We don't always like the result. But it's what we need because he knows our needs. He knows every hair on our head. Down to every follicle in our toenail, too. He knows it all. And he loves us all. God wants you to make him the hat that you put on every day, all throughout the day. He wants you to put him on and leave him there. Don't put him on, take him off, put him on, take him off, put him on, take him off. He's there. Don't keep turning your back on him. Would you turn your back on your child when they ask you to kiss your boo-boo, their boo-boo? No. God doesn't turn his back on us either. Have you ever watched your child come home from school looking like their whole world fell apart? Maybe they failed a test, or the boy in the next row said your daughter isn't pretty enough, or the girl in the music department laughed at your son's acne. And they come home so dejected and so hurt. And the first thing you want to do is run up to them, hold them, and hug them. And then tell them, this too shall pass. I promise you'll get through this. This gets better. Just hang in there, wait and see. There's so much more for you. But they have that wall up. So all you can do is sit idly by, waiting for the opportunity for them to come to you and tell you what happened, so that you can love them through the hurt. Beloved, that is how God sees us when the world hurts us. And the world hurts us all the time. When our fears and our anxieties and our stresses of life overwhelm us, God sees when we're hurting. But he has to sit by and wait. He has to wait on us to call him over. He has to wait on us to say, Dad, help me. Love me through this. Dad, I'm scared. Dad, I'm hurt. He has to wait on us just as we have to wait on our child. We hold God at bay because we can, because we're adults, and little things shouldn't bother us. We have bigger things to think about. Little things bother us, and it's okay that they bother us, because we have a dad that wants to help us. He wants to guide us through those paths. He wants to love on us when we're hurt, when we're scared. Sometimes we feel like we're just going to keep God over there. I'm going to call on him now because I'm scared. Or I'm going to call on him now because my friend is hurting. But we leave him there. We leave him over in the pew over there, or in the chair over there, or at the house when we go outside the house. We put him on this pedestal of unapproachable, unattainable, unreachable, untouchable. God deserves to be on a pedestal for everything he has done for us. But he never said, never did he say, leave me over here. That's not who he is. He said, take me with you. I'll go with you. I'm not going to leave you out there on your own. Do we consider God too big? Do we consider him too small? Or discount the fact that he truly cares for us? How big is God? Is he big enough to intervene in even the small things? Is he big enough to be trusted? Is he big enough to erase your worries and replace them with peace? Is there evidence that God cares about the small stuff of your life? Are you trusting him with everything today? Remember, everything in your life is little in comparison to what God has done. They're all small things. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. It doesn't say don't be anxious about some things. It says anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. It doesn't say only ask me about the big things, guys, because the little things don't matter. Nowhere does it say that. It says in all things. Beloved, please trust God with not only the big things in your life, but the things that we deem as minuscule, trivial, bothersome. They're not bothersome to God. He wants you to come running to him like a child, trusting that he cares for you. God wants us to talk to him all throughout the day. He wants us to lean on him. He wants us to desire him to be the biggest and best part of our lives. God wants a right relationship with you. God sees your every fear, every anxiety, and he wants to hold your hand and walk through your day with you. God wants to love you. Do we hold him at bay? Do we only pull him out of our pocket when we need him? How big is your God? How is he big enough to number the hairs on your head, whether they turn gray or they fall out or you shave them off or you color them? It doesn't matter. He loves every inch of you. Every hair on your head matters to him. Every beat of your heart matters to him. He's big enough to love you all and all your cares. Give them to God. I promise you, he's not up there going, you again? Really? He's saying, thank you. My child, I just wanted you to come to me. So take the wall down. Use the bridge that he gave us to have a right relationship with him. In the next few weeks, we're going to be discussing the names of God and how those names give us strength and hope and purpose. Don't discount who God is. Don't discount how much God loves you. Beloved, as we prepare for communion today, remember that God's love for you is bigger than your biggest fear, and even bigger than your smallest fears. God is your Abba Father, and he loves you more than we can fathom. Every minute of every day matters to him. Share the minutes in your day with your daddy. He loves you.